This episode is brought to you by TerribleOrigami.com.
Putting the OMG in origami and home origami. Oh, damn it.
OMG
in origami.
Home of the Million Dollar Frog.
Yeah. It's big.
Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we don't remember very well, and then we watch that movie and eat pizza, and then we talk about it again and see what we got right and or wrong.
Yeah, mostly wrong.
Mostly wrong. Mostly wrong.
Generally.
My name is Dan.
I'm Molly.
I'm also Dan.
I'm Beth.
And our movie this episode is Big.
Big, starring Tommy Hanks.
Tommy Hanks.
And
Some other people.
Robert Loggia, I think.
Who?
Oh, is you're showing dad? Off.
He's the old dude in movies.
The old dude.
He's awesome.
Okay.
But I think I saw this movie. I think I'm going to lump this in with late high school, Dan's watching a ton of VHSs from the library.
Oh.
I think I've referenced this period before.
So is this pre-free cable recordings era then?
Those are... I'm watching free movies on VHS from the library at my mom's house.
Aha, I see.
A life spoiler alert, my parents are divorced. and my dad's house, I'm watching free cable VHS.
Gotcha. Okay.
So legit theatrical releases.
Yes.
But I am at my mom's house. I do have two VCRs room because we're right on the border of like, hey, it's time for DVDs.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with all these VCRs? Mm-hmm. So I'm making copies of tapes.
You were bootlegging state-subsidized VHS movies? Wow.
For no reason. I probably did not watch those VHS tapes again.
Right.
I probably didn't do that.
So you're saying you didn't watch Big religiously after your viewing?
I don't think I even made a copy of Big.
Oh. Wow.
I made a copy of, definitely made a copy of Shanghai Noon with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson.
Gotcha.
And maybe like a Kevin Smith movie, but not Mallrats, because I own that on DVD from Columbia House Records.
Ah, getting those deals.
Yeah. Anyway, so I watched this late in high school by myself because it looked like a movie I should have watched.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Well, this is one movie that I'm pretty sure of the release date. I believe it was 1988.
Whoa.
Ooh, big bet right out of the gate.
Well, we'll see. Not 1988.
Big is the movie we're watching.
Okay, if I get accused of making a pun every time I say the word big, I'm walking on this episode.
Big steps. So you sort of have to go with me on this journey. It was my eighth grade graduation. Spoiler alert, I'm older than probably the oldest person here. Yep, by a few years. So my eighth grade graduation. So we were all wearing our graduation dresses.
What?
You know how you wear like white dresses or whatever and terrible white shoes for graduation?
Aren't you wearing a gown over it?
No, it's like eighth grade.
Oh, eighth grade.
Or maybe we're just wearing floral dresses. Sure. You know what I mean? We're wearing dresses.
Sure. You're dressed up.
We were.
Sunday best.
It was after school or maybe technically not quite before school had ended. Technically, and we were able to walk to a movie theater that was maybe less than a mile from my school.
Nice.
And we went behind the Kroger.
Okay.
That was part of the subdivision kind of area, and smoked some weed.
Yeah.
But not very much of it.
MJ.
Like I don't think there was enough to even get high. But
change
it was
those white shoes to gray shoes. You are impure.
Your innocence lost.
Yes.
It felt so grown up though, you guys. And then we went to go see Big, which in hindsight
do all the time.
They go behind the Kroger
and smoke weed.
Actually, it might have been a Winn-Dixie back then. It probably was a Winn-Dixie.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's a real place.
Still a grocery store?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that what that movie's about?
That dog at Winn-Dixie movie?
Oh, it's about a dog?
I think so.
The dog's named after the star chain? Or the store's named after the dog?
This is a movie I honestly haven't seen. Has anybody seen it?
I have never even heard
of it. I know my grandma liked it.
Oh, well, it's probably really good then.
Okay.
Sounds like a grandma movie.
Yeah. Anyway, it was, yeah, that's right. It was Smoking Pot Behind the Winn-Dixie and then going to watch Big, and I felt very grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very independent.
I assume you bought the weed and movie ticket with your own money, like an adult.
Oh, I didn't buy the weed. I would have been terrified. And I guess maybe you call it pot. I don't even know what people. Anyway, that was what we did.
Well, what did you call it back then?
I mean, we're trying probably to probably pot.
Yeah, we're not trying grass. To stay in the context of the.
Yeah, it was probably that. It was a little baggy.
Sure.
You know,
a dime bag.
It might have been a nickel bag. It was probably a nickel bag. Okay. It was not a lot, you guys.
Well, it could be some regional colloquialisms too. Like we don't know what they called it.
Sure.
Wherever you were at that age.
That sounds great.
So do you actually remember like? Do you remember having any emotional response to the movie, or were you just like so blazed out of your mind that you don't remember this movie at all?
I was most definitely not blazed out of my mind. Okay. I think honestly, there was very little to it. But
the movie or the?
Neither. Uh-huh. No, it's okay. I remember the movie though, because I remember there's an F.A.O. Schwartz scene, which yes. Everybody dreams of going to F.A.O. Schwartz. And having free reign. And I remember the meeting in the conference room with the robots that just turn into buildings. And he's like, why is it buildings? They should be bugs or something.
What?
Right? Yeah. Or bugs or something.
Yeah.
And I remember he invites the woman over to his house and she calls top bunk. Or he calls top bunk.
You're literally saying the three things that I can like. They're very vivid memories from this movie.
You have gone far past my vivid memories of this movie already.
That sounds like a good transition.
Oh, okay. Well, she started it.
Sorry. Well, we're
going round
round. Yes, right now, but Dan is next in the circle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, point of order. I think I saw this. Well, if you're correct, and when it came out, then I definitely did not see it in the theaters, and I definitely did not smoke weed. Before seeing it, because I did not do any drugs until I was well into my, early 20s, probably. That's not important. I think...
Welcome to Drunk Kid.
I'm guessing we rented this movie. There's a chance that we just saw it, like, on TV, because I don't remember much. Like, I know the basic premise of the film, but I really don't remember any significant parts of it except for the keyboard, dancing on the keyboard, the creepy fortune telling machine, and then a little moment at the end with sort of like a where like the hot lady is like she kind of like it's a blink and you miss a thing where she's like, is that a small child and not the adult man I've been hanging out with this whole time?
Oh,
you know what I mean? Where like the spell wears off or whatever.
Sure, I didn't remember the end.
That's all I remember. Yeah. Like when you start talking about like bug robots or whatever, I nothing.
Okay,
no reaction.
That's when he becomes an executive of a toy company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, I don't actually remember... When I explained those scenes to... Like, I was discussing that we were watching this movie with my wife. And I explained those scenes. And she said, that's pretty much the movie. I'm like, there's got to be an actual plot in there somewhere, right? Like, besides... But apparently there's a lady.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole arc with this lady about bunks.
Right.
Sexual tension with children.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. I know that I saw this movie on TV.
Mm. He has a friend.
Yeah, he has a friend.
Why did that remind you that he had a friend?
He wishes that he's an adult. Mm-hmm. He has an animated machine.
Creepy
named
machine.
Zoltar?
Is it Zoltar? Zordon? No.
That's a drug.
I'm going put Zoltar for
Zoltar.
Me.
Zoltar.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
There's definitely a Z.
Yeah, Zoltar sounds right to me. Or like
I'm going to go Zoltan.
Okay.
bring that R down to the ground, turn it into an N.
What?
Zoltar versus Zoltan, if you take it. It's a writing joke.
They're
very close looking, R and N.
Are they?
Yeah. If you draw an R and then you just keep going with the R all the way back down to the bottom, you got an N.
Oh, we're talking lowercase.
Oh, lowercase, yeah. That makes sense.
See, I always think of uppercase when we're talking about individual letters.
Oh. Well, it's a name.
You mean the big letters?
Come on! What are you doing? What else do you remember, Beth?
Okay, so he wishes that he was big, and he wakes up, and he's Tom Hanks. The small child wakes up.
Every little boy's dream. He wakes up to be Tom Hanks.
Why is he wishing he is an adult? Does his mom like not let him have candy for dinner or something?
Or is he like a?
They're at a fair.
What's the inciting?
Oh, he can't get on the ride.
Oh,
he's not tall enough.
Right, he's just a little turd.
So then he wakes up and his mom sees an adult in her house and chases him out of the house.
Yeah. Good. She should.
Wow. Right. That's good parenting.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, strange man in the house.
Her mom must come around at some point, right? Because the movie's not about, like, her.
Wait, her?
Like, Tom Hanks's mom?
No, the mom's out of the picture.
Like, immediately?
What is she? Does he murder his mom when she attacks him?
He's just like, no, he's
out of the picture.
No, she chases him out of the house, and then he finds his friend, and then he gets an apartment, like, in a really bad neighborhood. Because I remember that scene with them, and, like, they're in this, like, really shitty apartment, and, like, there's cop cars going by, and he cries on his bed.
Ooh. Tom Hanks?
Yeah. He gets a sweet apartment later, you guys.
Yeah.
So don't be too sad.
So
he gets a job somehow.
A toy company.
But how does he... Yeah, he works
because
at a toy company.
Is it because of the keyboard dance?
It's because of the keyboard dance, I think.
No, it's pre-keyboard dance.
Pre-keyboard dance?
Is the guy who runs the toy company his friend's
Robert
dad?
Moshe.
I don't know. I really feel like he gets discovered somehow. And maybe it's at FAO Schwartz. Maybe that is it. But then this guy who owns the toy company believes in him and brings him on board, maybe to do mail at first, and then he quickly climbs the ladder.
Yeah. Huh.
And there's an evil corporate guy who's in a relationship with the lady.
Oh.
Yes. I'm Dan's Betts. This is a shot in the dark for 80s evil guy.
Yeah.
He's got slick back hair.
I think he has, like, poofy hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my theory. Well, it might be a combination.
He's probably one of those character actors the minute we see them, we're like,
oh, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's always evil in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I can picture
him. I feel like he has a part with fluffy hair on either side.
Yeah.
It's that 80s hair.
Yeah.
So he goes to the toy store pretty soon. That's, like, his first I'm an adult, I'm a child trapped in an adult's body thing.
I think so. And then he starts walking across the keyboard, and then he starts playing. And then that guy comes down, right?
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia. They start playing Chopsticks. And
they
then
connect. And
is that guy...
No, Heart and Soul.
Heart and Soul, yeah.
Yeah. Is that guy the toy executive? And he's just in the toy store? Because the toy manufacturer is different from the toy store, right?
I feel like you might be parsing details to a greater extent than the movie does.
You think he works for FAO Schwartz in the toy development department?
Oh.
I think he owns it. I think he's FAO Schwartz.
Oh, Francis Alejandro Onassis Schwartz.
Yeah.
Really? That does.
I don't know if he is, but.
Is there.
He works for that company.
I'm going to go the toy store and the toy manufacturer are two different companies.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Sure, that's capitalism.
I mean, you would easily be a toy manufacturer at FAO Schwartz.
Sure, he's
your
just like checking out the goods.
Yeah, or maybe he's trying to. Maybe he's doing like a local, like, hey, we got this new bug building robot or whatever you're talking about.
No, they don't have the bug building yet, you guys.
It's like a transformer.
Yep.
But they can't say transformer because that is a trademark.
But it's a robot that turns into a building.
Mm.
And then Tom Hanks, like you said, he's like a mail person, right?
I feel like, I don't remember the mailroom. That just seems like every other movie. At this time, like Hudsucker Proxy or any other movie where he's in a weird corporate thing. Is he delivering mail? And then he's like, hey, that toy would be better if you did this.
For some reason he's in the room. And then he's like, no, you shouldn't turn into buildings. You should turn into bugs. That's more fun. And then the guy's like, I like your style. You get a job now.
Can I put a bet down that the boss says the word moxie?
So the
shot in the dark,
the piano dance is not what gets him the job.
I am unsure.
Piano dance gets him mail job.
Yeah.
But then butting into corporate meeting and talking about Transformer gets him the VP of ideas or whatever.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, that's a propelling moment, but in hindsight, I can't remember what takes him from... I'm not even sure about the order of the FAO Schwartz moment versus anything else, so.
Okay.
I don't know.
What else happens in this movie?
I feel like there's a moment where, like, the executive pulls him into a meeting. Like, he gets pulled in for some reason. Or maybe the lady does.
Is the lady connected to his job?
The lady works with him.
Oh.
Okay.
And then she's like, she doesn't like him at first.
Because he's a weirdo.
Yeah. And then she starts to charm him.
Charm him?
No, he
starts to charm her.
And he's like completely oblivious.
Yeah, she wants to bang.
She wants to bang.
Because that's the thing. Is yeah. She,
and he has no idea.
She
no.
said like a sleepover, and then he goes, okay, you get top bunk.
Yeah. Or he calls.
I call top bunk.
Yeah.
But doesn't he concede? He's like, okay, you can have it.
Because he's a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At heart.
I think that must have been in the preview, because this is in my brain. It's
is
in all
there,
of our
who gets top bunk? I'm saying... She gets top bunk.
Are we going? Are we betting on who gets top bunk?
Yeah, lady top bunk.
I'll double down on that.
Thanks. Yeah, because she wants to get down to Pound Town. And he just wants to hang out and play with toys.
Do you think there is a, like, subtle, like, something's happening to my parts joke?
Oh, great question. Yeah, does he have the...
You know what I mean?
Because his body is an
adult
man.
How old is
man.
He supposed to be? I don't even know.
He's like an 8-year-old boy.
13?
No. If he was 13, he'd know what's up.
Or he'd at least understand that parts were... Something was happening to his
parts. I think he's like an 8-year-old boy.
I think he's a little older than 8. Maybe he's 9 or 10.
Oh, are we putting down bets?
I'm guessing preteen.
Oh, wow.
Preteen, so like 12.
I feel like we've done this bet before. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Probably.
Yeah, so. Probably.
Or Home Alone.
Home Alone, for sure we did.
Yeah.
I would like to go, he calls top bunk.
Oh, you're going.
So, I'm doing the opposite
I feel
of
like,
double
okay,
down.
What I'm saying is he calls it, but then concedes.
Yeah.
And so it's left with her getting the top bunk.
We're betting on the actual result.
Yeah.
I agree
you're
with you, Molly.
So
I think...
upset with this gradation of the top bunk bet.
I think as an adult, like, she is the actual adult.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't
or
want
is she,
bunk.
Right?
No. Well, no, she here's is. The thing that's weird about this movie that I don't think that I thought about when I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, I was, like, really cheering for him. I was like, oh, look at this love connection. But, like, as an adult, I'm like, it's so weird that she's, like, dating a 12-year-old.
Right.
Sure.
But she doesn't know that. She thinks he's just, like, a cool guy. Who's fun loving?
I think we are going to have so much to talk about what the 80s idea of a guy was. Because, like, I think this is before all that Peter Pan stuff. And if you put this in
The what?
Well, the whole, like, guys don't grow up, or the aesthetic currently is to not grow up, to cling to your teenage-ness as long
but
as possible.
But this is 80s where men were making business deals.
Yeah.
Greed is good.
Yeah.
Gordon Gekko.
Reaganomics.
Slick back hair.
Get that cash.
Big ties. Doing coke.
Coke in the bathroom.
I would like to make a bet that she wears, at least at one point, one of those floppy lady ties.
Yes.
Yeah.
Floppy lady
ties. I bet it's going to be red or burgundy.
Oh, wow.
I bet he's offered coke at one point.
Wow. Yeah, I guess
it's like he thinks it's Coca-Cola, probably. It writes itself.
Yeah, that's a pretty good joke.
So, does he pretend that his friend is his son then? When they're, like, getting apartments? Is that how that works?
Well, his friend leaves him. Yes, that's why when he starts crying is because he's, like, by himself.
Because his friend's like, I gotta go home.
Oh, right.
I have a mom who doesn't think I'm a monster.
Oh, but I'm pretty sure there's a point where he doesn't have time for his friend because he's actually getting all stressed out about being an adult.
Yeah.
And they have a big coming of understanding. And that's part of what propels him to want to get back into his old life.
Okay, this came out of nowhere in my head. But is there a point where adult Tom Hanks and child best friend are just, like, hanging out in their underpants?
Probably.
Ooh. And, like, eating ice cream? I feel like it's Home Alone again.
That sounds right when he gets to the big fancy apartment.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a trampoline in it, for sure.
There's for sure a trampoline.
Because I dreamed of that for a long time, of getting a loft with high enough ceilings that you can get
a trampoline. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Indoors. And there's, like, a scene from the outside of the condo or loft or whatever that shows them jumping up and down. Good times.
That sounds good. Because it's a really open
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have furniture.
Yeah. He's just got, like, bean bags and toys and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This movie's, I think, pretty good.
I don't remember anything about the actual, like, arc of his character.
Yeah. I'm beyond the like that relationship, like what is, there's for sure a bad guy, but what's the, like, is he going to get fired or something?
I feel like the bad guy is the bad corporate guy, right?
Yeah. I think he just wants to expose him or get him fired or get everybody to stop liking him.
Ooh, is he a dick to that lady? Like, does Big,
you're in a relationship,
does Big help her realize that he's wrong for her and, like, saves her from a horrible relationship?
I think so, because I think she falls for him.
Yeah, she wants to go to Pound Town.
Down to Pound Town.
So uncomfortable.
So she breaks up with evil corporate guy.
Ooh, maybe? And then maybe he wants revenge.
And then he's like, I gotta get this guy. His ideas are too fresh.
Yeah. And then on a coke-fueled rage.
But I think the arc is more like he immediately hates Tom Hanks.
Mm. Yeah.
And she is with him in hating Tom Hanks.
How can
Hanks.
You hate that face?
Eh.
What? You well, hate they, Tom Hanks' they, face?
No, I mean it's...
He's so charming.
He is charming.
And this is young Tom Hanks, too, where he's just got his, like, thin little boyish... face where it's like, yeah, he could hang out in an apartment as a lady and no one would think that's weird or question his gender.
Yeah, is this is this Tom Hanks's big break?
Oh!
Is this like his first big movie? Because I know he did Bosom Buddies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's something between that.
Is this pre-Turner and Hooch?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Is this
is
this post-Bachelor Party or whatever that movie was
Bachelor
called?
Bachelor Party might have been his first one.
Which I think is raunchier than you would expect it to be.
Oh.
Kind of like Risky Business, where there's like Risky just business. Hookers everywhere. That's got some underwear hang time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different movie, though.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I feel like he definitely has movies where he's younger in them.
Okay. So
yeah.
He's already like...
He's had a storied career, you guys.
This is like a Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to like... Oh, Tom Hanks. Who's this guy?
I feel like Turner and Hooch came out after he was really famous.
Sure.
He's I don't a think it was like on that. The arc.
So Turner and Hooch was like, that was the market. It's like, we put this totally beloved actor with this dog.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I remember, but
that movie
not
is
very
sad.
Well.
Is
it really? Does something happen to the dog?
Yes.
Does something happen to the dog?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, does it get hurt? What happened?
Molly, that dog died.
No, what?
Hooch I guess does. We're not doing that,
what
dog.
What's the point? Why would you do a movie like
what
that?
Is the point? Hooch saves Turner and gets, like, blown away by criminals.
Really?
Yes.
That's
holy shit. I just remember, a car wash scene.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about a different movie, apparently. Molly's pre-traumatized before watching this week's movie.
So the ending of the movie, I feel like he goes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To Zola. And makes a wish that he is his regular size again.
Yeah.
And then he returns home. His parents must think he's missing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there has to be some implication of, like...
I think he does that Ferris Bueller thing where he, like, calls...
He's kidnapped.
Does he?
What?
Yeah. Doesn't he pretend... Doesn't he do the voice like he's...
Kidnapped?
Like,
that's a
kid.
Terrible idea.
That's horrible.
I think he does that.
Okay.
Is that a bet? I might have made that up.
That's great.
Bet
that's
put
cool
that down.
We're going to be so disappointed so if it's not in that.
Yeah, I feel like they have to address that, but now we're on, like, plot number four.
Yeah, well, that can just be at least addressed, like, at the end, where she's, like, so relieved to see Big again when he's not Big. At the end, you know what I mean?
I think he says he's sleeping over, has gone to camp or something. Because I feel like I remember him calling his mom at certain times.
How is she going to buy that? She wakes up, there's a strange man in her house. She chases him out of the house. Now her son is missing.
Maybe
her son calls up, says, hey, I'm just at my friend's house.
In a man's voice.
That's a
maybe
bullshit.
He has his friend call and be like, hey, Mrs. Big, can Big come camping with us this week? I've got a spare whatever, so he don't even have to come home to pack.
I believe that, but it's also ludicrous. Like,
well, sure.
Well, I mean, that is more ludicrous or less ludicrous that he gets transformed into an adult.
Well, that's the magic that you believe, but the fantasy is not that the mom is terrible. That's not part of the magic.
No, that wouldn't be magic at all. I have a terrible mom.
I guess that'd just be real.
I wouldn't see any Disney movie.
I really think that he calls himself.
Does he have a good home life?
I think he's pretty good.
I think it's fine. I think he's just having his, like... I think he wishes to be big partially because he's too short and he gets pushed around, but also because he's being pushed around by adults.
Does he have, like, an older sibling who's, like, way bossy?
And pukes pizza on him?
Home Alone.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, he has to have a sibling, right?
I think he gets big pretty fast, right? Mm-hmm. There's not much of a prologue.
I mean, that's what, yeah,
it's you like,
would think.
We are at the fair. Oh, shit, I can't get the ride. Hey, there's a creepy thing. I'll make a wish.
It's so creepy, too.
You wake up as big. Creepy. Like,
I don't know.
You think there's going to be a longer...
There might be a little bit more, but it's hard to say. I think the really big question is whether or not we're going to like it more or less than we did the first time.
That's a good question. I think I'm going to like it more. Mm-hmm. I think watching this movie alone as a teenager probably was like, oh, that's a fine movie. And now I think I'm going to be charmed by Tom Hanks because he's very charming.
How could you not?
And I think there'll be some great 80s moments that are hilarious that I will be entertained by. Yeah, I think I'm going to like it more.
Everybody looked at me, but that's counterclockwise.
We're just changing the circle up. That's fine. Behind the curtain.
Obviously, I'm super into order. I was super excited when we picked this movie because I remember really liking it.
Mm.
But now that we're trying to remember it, I don't remember a lot of it. So I think I'm going to like it more because just having a flood of memories come back will be fun.
So then how many FAO Schwartz pianos are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it 4.
4.
Yeah. That's like almost how long are those things?
Those pianos?
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got an apartment like he has, it's fine.
The floor ones? It's probably like 2 octaves, right?
Are we really trying to answer this question?
I was asking just the length of the keyboard. I didn't care about
that. 44 keys.
Spread of keys.
Oh. That many keys? That's too many keys for a floor piano.
Okay, so then it's probably 4 octaves.
But it's in the middle of the giant FAO Schwartz store. Yeah. You could have a big set of octaves.
How many transforming things, bugs into robots, would you give this movie?
Well, that I'd give it 5.
5.
Wow.
No, 4. 4 is my number.
4 out of 5. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I think 4 is my number as well.
2 4s. 2 4 bug buildings. I don't know. Sometimes 80s movies that are like considered huge classics do not age well.
Mm-hmm.
So I am concerned that like, while I was charmed by it as a kid, I'm like, oh, being big, you know, that's a... Because, like, yeah, when you're a kid, it's a fun premise. Like, now you're an adult. You can do what you want. Yay. But then, now that I am an adult, there might just be a lot of, like, problematic issues.
Now that you know the burden of adulthood.
Or just the burden of watching a half-assed script. So I'm going to... be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say I will give it 3 bug buildings.
Oh.
Like I don't think I'm gonna hate it, but I don't know if it's gonna be like this magical return of nostalgia. Like, oh my god, this movie is everything I adored as a child.
I feel suspicious that it hasn't been on cable nonstop. Like, I feel like Pretty Woman is always on cable. You know, there are certain movies from certain eras that you expect to see over and over.
You're
again.
Concerned that the tastemakers at Viacom and Turner Broadcasting have
like those movies aren't good. Is that where you're going this with aside? This?
No, I mean, but they're watchable. Like, you can sit down and rewatch. I could rewatch Sweet Home Alabama 100 times or Jurassic Park. I mean, Jurassic Park is
well,
a
that's
movie.
I mean, that's like
it's one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, comparing Big to comparing any movie to JP1. I mean, that's crazy.
Even so, I will say I have a lot of the same concerns that Dan does. So I'm going to also go with 3 robot buildings.
Okay. Sweet. I have one final question.
Hmm.
Do you guys think this is going to have an animated opening?
Oh,
man. I want it to so badly.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a hopeful yes.
I'm going to give a remorseful no.
I'm also going with no. I think it opens on the machine.
Oh.
Terrifying machine. That is the one memory I have of this movie. Like, the most visceral is legitimately being scared of Zoltan Tar.
Okay, I'm with Molly on a hopeful yes.
It could happen. It was a popular thing for a while.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, with that, we are now going to hit pause while we go watch the movie Big, and we'll be right back.
Um.
And we're back. We have just watched Big.
Big.
Yay, from 1988.
No, I nailed it.
Oh, it was 88?
Yep. It was.
Oh. No one else better than the year, so.
Nope.
That's true.
Good job, Molly.
I would have guessed 1988.
Yeah, me too.
Oh.
Big time.
Not me. I probably would have guessed, you know, I like to keep it real on this show, and I'm saying I probably would have guessed 86.
86. Mm-hmm. Well, you would have been wrong.
Yeah. And I accept that. I accept that I would have been wrong and would have been the outsider, much like young Joshua at the beginning of this movie.
Oh, Joshua.
Oh, Joshua.
Or Josh. I guess I know more about Josh. Like,
does anyone call him Josh ever?
Yeah. People call him Josh.
I mean, Joshua. I got distracted. Yes.
His mom calls him Joshua.
I think his mom calls him Joshua at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
This movie was great.
It was great.
Yeah, I loved it.
I had a great time.
Everybody was charming as shit.
Yeah.
It's for sure the funniest movie we've watched.
You think so?
Yes.
I mean, I think it was even better than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, maybe.
But I mean, better is a better movie.
Oh, for sure.
Sure. Is it as good a film as The African Queen, though?
Ooh. Oh. No.
But it's funny. But it was funny.
I would say this was the funniest, but simultaneously most, like, touching and heartwarming, but not in an annoying way, film that we've watched.
Yeah. As I think we made this point probably on the City Slickers episode, like, comedy, it's hard for comedy to hold up well.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
And this is still, I think, very much an 80s comedy, but it's got so much heart that it works.
Yeah.
I think we have to pause.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take a little
pause.
Oh!
I don't mean to whine, but I think we need to pause.
Come on. That's rough. Right, Pat?
Let's dog ear this section of the.
That was actually really good. That was good because it was a thought out metaphor and not just a dumb word.
Yeah, so I think it works so well because the story is also good. Like, it's funny and charming, but it's almost like more about the journey than the jokes.
Yeah, it was way more of like a like fully fleshed out metaphor of a film than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be like, you know, LOL, Tom Hanks is a dumb kid. And to be fair, totally killed it pretending to be a child in an adult body. That was amazing.
Did he get any statues for this? He should have got that Oscar gold.
Most people don't get statues for comedies because the Oscars, as we know, is a incredibly narrow-minded institution.
Yep. Yep. But he's great.
And not just for comedy, am I right?
Hey! No.
He's so good at being a little kid as a really 20-whatever-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like facial expressions even.
Posture.
Like, yeah.
His gait, his like walk.
Expectant way he waited for the back door of the car to close on him was just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that your favorite Tom Hanks being a kid moment?
Ooh, let's go around the table.
Yeah, number one, Tom Hanks is killing it, pretending to be a kid.
Oh, I have to say, when he gets in the back of the limousine and he waits for the driver to close the door, it has all the mannerisms that I didn't even notice kids have until Tom Hanks did it. It was so sweet.
Are we actually going
to? I think my favorite one, or the one that sticks out the most, is when it's during the I'm having so much fun montage.
The best montage.
The best montage.
We'll get to that. We'll talk about that.
And he rides this zebra in the toy store.
Yeah.
And he just rides the shit out of it. No one has ever ridden
Bronco.
This hard. He commits so hard to, bucking on this stuffed zebra. And it's perfect. He's like running into people, like, it's not even that he doesn't care. He's just unaware in the way that kids are. Like, they don't get that they just ran into, like, six people.
Yeah.
And that's annoying.
Right.
You know? Like, because he's just like, this is awesome. I'm doing this.
And, of course, so everybody else thinks it's awesome also, right?
Especially Robert Loggia.
Robert
Loggia.
Yeah. Who I was right. Robert Loggia.
Big boss.
Big boss.
But
no big deal.
Sorry. I'm sorry. We were going around the table in a circle. I apologize.
Tom Hanks acting like a child moment. If you guys don't have one, that's fine.
I have one, but it's not like a fun moment.
Doesn't have to be.
It's just the,
authentic.
Yeah. The part where when he's in his the apartment or the hotel room for the first night and he there's a gunshot and he like goes and locks the door and he just sits down and starts like crying.
Oh.
It's like such, he does it like, that's how kids cry. Their face is just like I don't know, like, melt, and then just, like, yeah. And then he, like, runs and jumps on his bed.
Oh, that killed me.
Yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, you felt for Josh.
Yeah.
Big, embiggened Josh.
Embiggened.
Yeah. I think the moment that I realized, like, how committed T. Hanks was to pretending to be a kid was, like, I don't even remember what they were doing, but, like, he had gotten his best friend, like, he convinced his best friend that he was him, so now they were hanging out.
Yeah.
And they suddenly had to, like, run somewhere, and Tom Hanks just, like, flailed his arms out and did this, like, really ridiculous, like, kid run, where, like, he wasn't trying to, there was no attempt at efficiency, or, like, even, like, always putting your feet in the right direction. Like, it was just this, like, dumb, like, I'm going really fast now, which means my whole body has to go, you know, intensity. Like, it just was, like, unfocused intensity while he ran.
If Tom Cruise running is on one end of the spectrum in terms of efficiency
peak,
of
movement, exactly. Peak adult man running.
Tom Hanks in big is on the other end of the spectrum.
Who would win? It's like Tortoise in the Hare.
Sure.
Tom Hanks would win because he would charm everyone.
Yeah, he would win our hearts.
Yeah.
As he did.
Hands and down. He has for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Team Hanks, for sure. If we're going Tom's, Team Hanks, all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd take Hanks over Chris. Okay. Zoltar is the thing.
Dan Booyah.
Nailed it. Not Zoltan. Zoltar.
Zoltar.
And he does, I think we were pretty right that it gets to that moment pretty fast. There was still before the carnival, there was a section... sort of establishing his character, essentially, right?
Yeah, I felt like it was basically trying to show, like, how tight him and Billy were. Like, these were inseparable friends.
Best you guys, friends. They start that metaphor immediately. Child in front of computer has to make a choice. It is a choose-your-own-adventure, and the first time he's too slow to make the choice, and the second time he makes the correct choice.
Yeah.
Well, we don't actually see him... See if it's correct, because it cuts away the second time he plays the game.
Oh, I guess it's like the Inception moment.
But
you're
he makes
sure.
a decision, though.
He does. Yeah. But, I mean, opening up on that computer game and the Choose Your Own Adventure, I thought was... I had completely forgotten it. It's amazing.
Yeah. No animated opening, unfortunately.
No.
But, yeah, it opens on an old-style adventure game.
Amazing.
In color. So, it had that going for it.
Yeah.
Still...
Like, two colors.
Text-based. but it has graphics. Yeah, and then he's trying to get with, or he's, like, interested in a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe for the first time. Let's say for the first time.
Yeah, because these kids are, at the beginning of the movie, 12.
12.
Yeah.
Preteen, Beth nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
He turns 13 over the course of the movie.
Yeah.
So they're 12, and he's thinking about girls. Like, he's like,
and Billy is, like, really thinking about girls.
Yeah, Billy is the more mature kid of the two.
He's 3 months older.
Oh, right. That's established.
He's
good job, Beth.
Right. Yeah, he must be 13 already.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kid's got it together, though. Like, almost too together. Yeah. Where you think, like, his home life's probably not great. Like, he's got to be the adult in the household. Mm. That's how I imagine his household goes. Also, he skips school every day to go to New York City.
To hang with Big.
For at least a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And no one is calling his home, maybe. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah. Yeah, this was... they were far more motivated by... their parts than I anticipated. Like, they were, you know, they had that, like, very, like, explicitly sexual kid talk where Billy was like, I could totally see the...
Her flowers.
Her flowers. The teacher is down the teacher's shirt or whatever, right?
Okay. What is he talking about when he says her flowers? Because he's not talking about vaginas, right?
Like,
that would be insane. Right? Like, what kind of shirt are you wearing? Is that just a flower print on her... What is talking about her flowers?
I mean, is that to suggest that they're into that stuff, but they don't have, like,
euphemism.
All the vocabulary? Or
let me lay it out for you. Okay. As a male, there's a time when you're interested in those things, but you don't, like, you don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like... Just seeing down a top in and of itself is like this, like, oh, it's like both like a little wrong and it's tantalizing.
It's like the first time. Yeah, it's like the first time you see the ocean. You know what I mean? Like, because it's like this beautiful, majestic landscape that, like, the human brain is, like, wired to want to explore and, like, see what's on the other side. But you can also tell that there's risk involved, yes. Right? Yes. And there's the unknown. Like, there's a whole layer that you're not aware of.
Molly's so uncomfortable learning about
shuddering
13-year-old sexuality.
Let me just say that I feel like Molly is grossly overreacting because, given the fact that I am also male, the conversations that males, especially at the age of 13, have regarding the subject matter are usually much more shudder-inducing than what I just said.
Wow. Yeah. No, I can imagine.
I feel like this was a pretty realistic of like, hey, I saw down to the teacher's top.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I think, Penny Marshall, who directed this movie.
Which was awesome.
Nailed that boy interaction.
For sure.
Is my summary.
Because then, then they establish that, like, they're not, they're still, like, they're just dipping their toes in the ocean, so to speak.
As you
because will. When that lady shows up, that girl that he's interested in, like, he just kind of says, like, monosyllabic responses.
Yeah.
Oh, but and, he like, does that with all girls. Because right. He does it with the young lady. Oh, do you mean the young lady?
At the beginning, when they're still kids.
Yeah. He just says yes to everything.
Yeah.
He literally says yes. And that is how he gets jobs and also how he deals with every situation. It's just by saying yes.
Agreement, you guys.
It's really important.
Or it's important, but it can only take you so far.
So we were right that he can't get on a ride.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the reason, but there's more to it than that. Worse. Right? He wants to get on the ride to impress the girl that he's interested
with
in.
With the girl.
Like,
he like butts through the line to get next to
big
her.
Time.
And he told the girl that it already been on the ride, and then he gets kicked off by
the biggest jerk
on the planet.
Yeah, but again, credit to Penny Marshall for totally nailing the casting on that carny.
This is like a 38-year-old, like, big dude kinda with, like,
paunchy,
a handkerchief.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he makes fun of this 12-year-old
for
boy.
For no reason!
Oh, but then the little girl is so sweet to him.
She
says
nice.
It's a stupid rule.
Yeah.
And then says goodbye to him. Like, she tries to add so much dignity to a situation that is just horrifying.
But, I mean, also, to go back to the horrors of teenage dumb, she's already with that guy who can drive. So she's like, whatever, I'll just be nice to the little weirdo.
Yeah.
But, like, she's still nice. Like, it's not, like, I don't think it's completely false. But I'm saying she's coming from a place of security and strength because she already has this driving man in her life.
And she's tall enough to get on the ride.
Yeah, do we feel like she's 13?
I think she might be 13 or 14.
I feel like she's in his grade.
Same grade, for sure.
Yeah.
Same grade, but maybe she's...
She could be 13.
Out that she's with a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
He could be... I guess we don't know Jersey laws in the late 80s.
Right.
But I had a learner's permit at 15. I could drive with an adult in the car.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah.
But 13 to 16, that's a jump.
Right.
But she was wearing a jean jacket and had a side ponytail. She doesn't care.
She was cool.
That's not the biggest age difference, though, that I have a problem with in this movie.
Yeah.
We'll get there. So he wants to embiggen, and thus he does overnight.
Yes, through the terrifying blood-red eyes of Zoltar.
Zoltar is the scariest
thing. So scary.
We should have watched this for Halloween.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
The mouth.
I forgot about the mouth.
Like, darkness.
Holy crap. Into, like, the void of... Like, thought itself. Like, it's like creating reality.
Yeah. And it only works when it's unplugged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
That's spooky.
Yeah.
And so Molly was accurate that the mom kicks him out of the house. Like discovers
freaked
him.
Out.
There's a little bit of like, he's sneaking around. But eventually, he gets out. He escapes the house, as it were, initially.
He
tries to fix it himself, the carnival's abandoned. And he wears a Giants sweater, as we saw. A little symbolism
before,
there.
He was wearing a Duke sweater.
Ah. Is that?
Duke is, like, not quite a king.
I don't know about the Dukes. But the Giants is there. But then he comes back.
It's his Little League.
His
Little League jacket, Dukes. And then he puts on the Giants
He puts
sweatshirt.
His dad's clothes on, and his mom tries to knife him.
Yep. Well, because, like,
understandably,
you imagine, like, you're in the mom's perspective. Suddenly, this grown, handsome, but grown man is suddenly pretending to be your child and giving you, like, very specific facts that granted, only your child would know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which means, like, the only logical assumption is this man has tortured this information out of my son and kidnapped him.
Yeah.
Or has been following him.
Or like something, he's yeah.
like, I know what Little League team he plays for.
Like, it didn't sound good. If you just saw that scene from the movie with no comments, you'd be like, holy crap, Tom Hanks is a monster.
Yeah, so she has a legit reaction, and he busts out of there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the darkest part of this movie, is that for the duration of it, which is like 6 weeks, probably. More than 6 weeks. You think it's
maybe two months?
I'm going to say...
Because it takes 6 weeks to get the paperwork.
Right. And then he sees the next grade take their class picture in the fall. And I assume Little League happens late spring through the summer. And also when the carnival comes into town, right? So he's probably at least, let's say, 8 weeks.
8 weeks, sure.
I mean, long enough to get on a milk carton.
Right.
Sure. I don't know how fast that turnaround is.
Well, in Jersey 1988, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But she thinks her son's been kidnapped.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Maybe dead. I think she still has hope. But not a ton. Like, in the final scene when she's talking to the best friend.
Yeah, she seems like
she's about to give up.
She's on the way to acceptance.
Yeah.
I just realized that, okay, so when he comes back, this is in the future of the movie, like, past the point
big
of
two?
The ending.
Too
yeah.
big. Big two, too big, as Molly called it.
Like, would he go back and be like, hey, dummy, remember when I was a man and I tried to tell you that I was your son and then you kicked me out of the house?
No, because then she'd be like, oh, no, he's traumatized from being kidnapped for
a year.
He's been brainwashed into thinking, I don't know.
I feel like when your son comes through the door in a suit several times too big and says, hey, Mom, I missed you guys. Maybe the questions get saved for later.
Like, maybe when he's, like, 40, and they're just, like, talking around the Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I was an adult for 3 months.
Oh, no, there you go. That's what's going to happen, unless he, like, really makes some interesting life choices in his 20s. Eventually, he'll just grow up to look like that dude. And that was, like, a very memorable moment for his mom when she almost knifed a guy. So at that moment, she may be like, holy crap, he looks just like the terrifying
kidnapper. Oh, that's a good question. Does he have any memory of any of that?
For sure.
Out of order. He looks back and is like...
He's not like, ooh.
Who's that lady?
And I actually wrote that down. I wrote that kid totally... We're talking about the characters playing Josh, the actor playing Josh killing it. That kid totally nailed, like, having a legitimate emotional connection to that lady.
Yeah.
Despite only, you know... I don't know. I was impressed with the, like, level of nuance in his look back when he was tiny Josh again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, the kid actually did a good job as well.
Okay, so we've described the beginning and end of the movie.
Let's get to the meat of it. F.A.O. Schwartz and the toy company are different. Good job, me.
Yes.
Nice job.
McMallon. Or something like
and
that.
And I was indirectly correct in saying that it was indeterminate whether one was before and after, and it turns out it was a sandwich situation.
Right.
He gets company, then F.A.O. Schwartz, and then promotion company.
Oh, yes.
Yes. He gets hired because he needs a job.
Yes. Because incredibly thoughtful Billy is like, you need money.
Yeah,
you
need
an income.
Is
knows how to hustle.
The man of the house at home.
Do you think Billy was like always like right on the precipice of running away from home? So that's why he's already thought all these scenarios through.
Good plans.
He had all that money. Oh, he had handed that wad of money.
Yes.
To
yes.
Josh.
That wad of money that mine in the gutter Molly Chase said, was it condoms? Because she thought, 13-year-old kid, his best friend's become an adult. First thing that kid's thinking is, oh, he needs to have safe sex when he goes to the big city.
To be fair to Molly, he hides it really fast. He's like, what are you thinking?
Stolen money, and he's an innocent young boy.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure what Billy would think he would need to survive in the city.
Billy barely understood what boobs is. They wouldn't even know what a condom was.
What's boobs is? Hey, what's these boobs in here? I'm a 13-year-old boy from North Jersey.
I thought you were that amazing Italian pizza clown at his 13th birthday party.
Okay.
We're all over the place. We love this movie.
Yes, we did. So he gets the job because he's good with computers, quote unquote.
Yes.
Computers.
Yeah. Oh.
They have a department that's just computers.
Just computers.
The technology, it's really like him getting the job in general is just like, that's insane. Like, they go to the location, he fills out like the application poorly. And then walks in with it.
Immediately. And yeah. gets interviewed in person.
Guys, this was the height of the 80s. Ugh. Reaganomics was going strong. America was on top. Every single citizen was perfectly taken care of and financially secure by their own free will. Yeah. It was paradise.
It sounds great. Pepsi was flowing from...
Shoulder pads were incredible.
Oh my God, the shoulder pads. Shoulders were bigger
than ever. Wow. Yeah. It was like the Da Vinci, you know, that famous Da Vinci drawing where the arms are out and the legs are out?
Oh, the Vitruvian. You said that. Yeah. You just said that. Mm-hmm.
That's how wide the shoulders were.
Vitruvian man. Can I talk about the computer department for a second?
Yeah.
Because I was actually kind of impressed with, like, how... I don't know, like, I felt like the movie actually, like, successfully captured probably the culture around computers and corporations at the time, and honestly, probably still to this day,
yeah.
where Tom Hanks was basically seen to be doing just, like, kind of, like, basic data entry, mm-hmm. and his coworker, John Lovitz,
yes.
great cameo,
who's a real creepo,
yeah, was like, hey, you're working too fast, and it's like, he had entered one, like, one element into that computer software, and he's like, oh, you're working too fast, you're making us look bad, which I feel like was probably exactly how those departments were in the late 80s, yeah. where no one actually understood what computers did, and the people who knew how to type 10 key lived like kings,
yeah.
except they only made $187
a week?
Maybe?
Were they getting paid weekly?
That was unclear.
I hope it was weekly, because $187 every 2 weeks is depressing.
Those yeah. were different times, yeah. man.
But that fucking Tom Hanks delivery of $187.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. He gets the check. Everybody gets their check. And he just goes, $187? It's just so good so how excited he is.
They go to the bank, and they get the money in one $100 bill.
Three dimes. One $100 bill. 87 ones. I love that they had to have like a little convo about it.
Yeah. And then they buy a lot of stuff.
They buy a lot of junk food.
Like food.
They buy the silly string.
And silly yeah. string.
It's not until he gets promoted to VP that they buy all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because then he's pulling down VP money.
VP money.
Which you got to imagine is at least, what, $200, $300 a week?
Yeah. Man, so much to talk about. Okay, let's get to...
Dan took, like, copious notes.
I took so many notes about this movie. There was no underpants boy hang time.
No. What am I thinking of?
I don't know, but it wasn't in there.
There was ice cream.
You made that sound way creepier than I intended.
That's the note, right?
In the beginning, though, Tom Hanks is wearing, like, underoos or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's a little eye candy for the ladies.
Right? Hey, Tom Hanks, you've seen him dressed as a lady for years. Now see the man meat under there.
Yeah. He was just a 12-year-old boy. so none of that. No Coke references
no.
at all.
Pepsi.
Right, but cocaine. Oh, boy.
My dad just inhabited my body.
I didn't notice if there was a floppy lady tie or not.
Ooh.
Oh, you know what? I did look for that. There was no floppy lady tie. There was, however, a tie that I would like to submit as acceptable in that it was a man's tie, uh-huh. ladyfied, with sparkles.
Who was wearing it?
The lady.
Oh, okay.
She wore it in the scene where she was like, what are we doing? Is this an affair yep. or is it more?
I think that counts.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I give it. I'll give it.
Lady tie.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the romance in this movie, because it's a big part of it.
It's a big, yeah. like, way bigger than I yeah. thought.
Big.
The big, ah! So the, what's her name?
Susie. He calls her Susie.
Is that not, that's not the girl from the beginning also?
No, that's Cynthia.
Oh, they're what? Both names, though. Okay.
What girl at the beginning?
The one, the jean jacket.
The child girl.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The side pony.
Yeah.
But she is the actress she's in, what's she from?
Elizabeth Perkins.
Yeah, do we know?
In. She looks, she's in all like kinds of stuff.
Super familiar.
Judy Garland to me.
Okay, she's in stuff.
She's in stuff, look it up, we can't do all the
can't
work.
Can't do all your work.
We've got a lot to get
We
through.
Only know what the actors are in.
Right.
Because patriarchy.
Yep.
but she essentially is sleeping her way to the top.
That's yes, that is explicitly stated by her vindictive boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, is she, or is that what he says that she's doing?
But he specifically named several employees
of
the company.
He name checks employees because his feelings are hurt, and he doesn't know who all else she's dated,
she,
and it's hard to meet people.
Okay. She replies, like, doesn't.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, she specifically said anymore.
Well, maybe she means I'm not dating any more coworkers.
Look,
because
no
I've
one,
met...
but she is dating a coworker, Tom Hanks.
Josh.
In her defense, she seems like a really hard worker.
Neither of us are saying that this is a judgment
on her behavior.
Feels pretty judgy.
No, it was judgy
you're
on
saying
the...
that she doesn't deserve the position that she has.
No.
She's just slept with people. To
no,
get
the vindictive boyfriend
the
was saying that.
She's the reasonable person in those meetings.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she's
clearly
a great employee.
But it's 1988, the patriarchy's going strong, she's doing what she has to survive in New York toy industry.
Yeah, she has to be both the best employee and sleep with her boss.
It's horrible.
To even get the same
treatment. Guys, that's why she falls in love with a 12-year-old, because he's the only innocent man she's known for 10 years. Patriarchy.
I guess. I just...
She falls for him, I think, initially...
First
initially, she's just trying... She wants to get down...
She's making her moves.
...to Pound Town.
But get down to Pound Town to get in good with the new golden boy of the company.
Yes. Do you disagree with that?
I think she's...
Like, in that cab ride, when she like, pulls him out at the party where he wears that awesome, like, Elvis rhinestone.
You mean limo ride?
Yeah, sorry. Limo ride.
Clearly,
that's what you're taking up, Bridget. and she's, like, obviously trying to get with him.
Yes.
And he's going nuts in the limo, which is... Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's what when we bought our first car...
Yeah.
That's what I was doing in every car.
How old are you?
28.
Okay.
but just because it's fun to play with.
Wait,
all
do you think so? Do you think that was actually not scripted? And that was just 28-year-old Tom Hanks
like,
just enjoying
awesome.
The limo.
Either way, amazing moves. But yeah,
I have no idea how old he was.
It did feel.
She's trying to get with him, right?
She's trying to go to Pound Town.
For sure, she's trying to get.
She's
with him.
She's taking a limo to Pound Town.
She does say she's like, I'm really vulnerable right now. She's like clearly trying to get his attention, and he's like, he doesn't know what's happening because he's 12.
But then she also kind of pauses outside his door and be like, I don't know if we should do this.
Because after he did, after when they first stepped up through the sunroof of the limo, you could see in her face that she, like, there was this flicker of like that moment of like, oh, he's not like the other guys. There's innocence. There's joy here. And then she goes back into business mode, but it's there. He's planted the seed without even trying to.
You know how we know he's planted a seed?
Why?
Because she stopped smoking.
That's right. She was like constant for the first 20.
Constant with the Virginia Slims or similar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then she suddenly gets on the trampoline and she changes completely.
Does she smoke at all through the rest of the movie?
No.
Molly
Chase. We've never seen a cigarette in her hand.
That's great.
You need to write a blog post about it.
Plus, I want to point out in that dinner party scene, he is wearing a pure white tuxedo. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The company party.
Yeah, the company party. And she is wearing a black cocktail dress.
Yes.
Symbolism.
Innocence and not innocence.
Right. But then they come together in play on the trampoline.
And they put on gray pajamas.
Yep.
They don't do that.
It's a very colorful pajama.
But yeah, I feel like even up to that door, she's like in business mode of like, this man is on his way to the top. I need to get with this.
This is so disturbing. I'm disturbed by it because I think it's not untrue. And it makes me sad. Well, because I was thinking the whole time we were watching this movie, how much movies like this influenced how we perceive the world.
Yes.
And so when I was growing up, I would watch movies like 9 to 5. Or Working Girl or this movie and try to understand what the work world was like because my mom was in the work world and I could never understand what her job was. Could just not understand. And she would have all these stories about trying to get through corporate life.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm so resistant is because I feel like... I want to believe
you,
that...
You're like Susie in the movie. Like, she's... Hold on.
I do not sleep...
No, let me finish. You are jaded by the realities of women in the corporate world, right? But you want Tom Hanks to come and tell you that everything is okay and there is joy and fun to be had in this world and that it's still, there still can just be innocence and affection in the working world, right?
I think so, but I have trouble with this whole sleeping with people.
I'm not saying you are doing
and
that.
And Tom Hanks is a terrible boyfriend in this movie.
He is an awful boyfriend. He doesn't terrible. Know how to be a boyfriend.
It's because he's 12. It's because he's 12. I know, but I feel like, I mean, I think anyone you talk to will say they've got a little kid on the inside, right? Sure. And I just feel like something happened in the 2000s that blew that wide open into where it's a thing that society has embraced, this idea that you're not supposed to get older or grow up at all.
Right.
Right? And I wonder, is it because of Big?
Oh.
Like, when did the seed get planted?
You're saying the whole, like, his office cleans up, he wears a nice suit, and at that point, all of America decided to become stunted man children for the next few generations?
Possibly.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's
might
not
be
a bad theory.
No.
I think this movie is set in the 80s in as much as, like, it's both. I feel like this movie was not for a teenager, which is when I watched it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's for either a kid who's like, it's awesome to be older.
Yep.
Or a working man stuck in a corporate job that he probably kind of hates, and he has to be uptight, and it's like, oh, if I could enjoy things in my life again, wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
And so I think
but
it's a reflection.
Isn't that also the message of Big, that eventually, even if you start out enjoying your job, like, remember how excited we all were to get our first paycheck? Like, that was incredibly exciting. It was like, I didn't even invoice them for this. They just mailed it to me. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, ugh. Like, you're Tom Hanks, like, all stressed out and no time for your best friend.
And he does hit that. And I want to talk about, I definitely want to talk about that character change.
Do it now.
Now is a great time. first, we have to do our ongoing segment, Did They Bang?
Yay! Okay.
It's not the they have a sleepover after the company party, but that that's is, when it's I be on top,
and she's like, okay,
they did not bang.
But she's trying real hard.
She wants to bang. He doesn't know
even
about
know
banging.
What banging is.
Yeah,
yeah.
But later, some date that they
what
have.
Were you doing?
What leads up to that?
Was that after the dinner party where he helped the little kid with his homework?
Yeah.
No. That's right after.
Yeah. They are somewhere. They're at a party or something. Oh my god, we already can't.
Wait. Did they bang after they went to that carnival and he walked right by Zoltar and they danced and smooched?
Yes. They danced and smooched.
And then they go back to her apartment.
Her insane
which,
apartment.
Yeah, quick sidebar.
Okay, yeah.
Her apartment. I wrote this down. I didn't know her name yet, even though the movie had been going on for an hour and a half.
Patriarchy.
I wrote, ladies' apartment, 80s decor, house of horrors. That apartment was insane.
Yeah.
It was super
like
insane.
Antique fan. Oh. And then like a...
like intentionally paint-stripped wardrobe.
Yeah. Leather couch with like wood arms.
And like weird just like random half walls with glass blocks put in. Like the set of Saved by the Bell. Anyway,
I got to do a quick sidebar as well. That date is also when they go to the insane Italian restaurant, isn't it?
No, that was his 13th birthday party, where Billy got him a surprise Italian cake.
We'll get to that. So on the date, they smooch on the dance floor,
and
then
it cuts to
smooching in the apartment. In a kind of a, for me, that was a bit of a jarring cut.
Yeah.
Because their faces stayed the same place, but the background changed. Just the editing thing, it was weird.
You're saying maybe Penny just...
whoever the editor was dropped the ball a little bit right there.
Well, I think they're just kind of conveying that they did not stop kissing
all the way back.
Yeah, all the way back.
Right.
But then Susie slowly
things get uncomfortable.
Oh, so uncomfortable.
Buttons her blouse.
Oh god.
Tommy Hanks standing there like he's confused but focused.
He's confused but
super focused.
Yes.
Molly utters the most extreme southernism that exists. Lord bless us and bind us. As
Susie removes shirt.
Her bra is exposed.
Yes.
She goes to turn off the light. Tom Hanks turns the light back on because he is finally seen the great Atlantic Ocean in all its glory.
Yeah. This is his first view.
Flowers,
I guess.
maybe
lacy bras were really in, so that's, I don't know. Anyway, and he really awkwardly just kind of
cut. It's almost like a pawing at.
And it's not even like it's clearly, it's almost like he's like deciding what to get for his countertops. Like he's just sort of like trying out the surface and like trying to understand like, is this.
Well, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to please a woman.
But she's, like, okay with it.
Yeah, she was weirdly okay with it.
Which leads me to believe, again, that her last relationships have just been, like, empty business decisions where she's being treated poorly by these fuckers at the toy company who just want to use it for her body and then tell it to their friends in the steam room or whatever rich 80s guys did. I don't know.
Smoked cigars made out of $100 bills. Yeah. Snorting coke. Yeah. And then it blacks out.
So, well.
Doesn't it?
Okay. So she seems to enjoy the awkward touching.
Right. She's
the bra strap falls gracefully.
Off her shoulder.
Making things just a little more exposed, yeah. Right? They embrace.
Yeah. Slow fade.
Slow fade. So next day, Tommy Hanks struts into the office.
Yeah.
He goes to
give
his secretary.
High fives.
Goes to his secretary. He says, "Mom from that 70s show, I would like some coffee." And she says,
you don't drink coffee.
And then he comes back and says, "And I would like it black. The most grown-up drink in the world if you're a 12-year-old boy. Because you don't quite understand what beer is yet."
Yeah. So I think he banged.
Absolutely banged.
He turned into a man.
Exactly.
Guys, I really, really don't want that to be true.
You know in your heart it is.
Black coffee, Ben.
So
he ordered black coffee.
But I mean, if you go from, let's say you have a car.
Okay.
And it can go from 0 to 120 miles an hour. If you, for the first time ever, get that car to 30 or 35 miles an hour, you may feel...
You're saying premature ejaculation.
No! I'm saying getting to second base would be a big deal.
So you're saying he... I think
he
the
would
case,
give high fives.
Yeah, that's a thing.
The no bang case, I think, is that he could... Like, he mechanically, things didn't work out.
He has an adult man's body.
Yeah, but his brand, there's more than just the butt. You know what I'm talking about?
You're saying his anxiety would take over and it would just be a disaster.
Yeah.
But, okay, he, as a 13-year-old, like, just getting to second base would be high-five worthy.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Just getting to second base, high-five worthy. Black coffee order, though. Full on.
Yeah.
Sliding into home. The crowd goes wild. Fireworks.
Oh, on top of that, there's a whole...
12 years old.
No, he's 12 years inside.
13-year-old at that point.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
He's 13.
There's a whole bunch of other adult things that he does. He then goes to a dinner party where they talk about documentaries.
He helps a child with his homework, and they are all just so touched by what a wonderful man Susie has finally found after all those assholes from the toy company.
Yeah, so...
He does something else, too, doesn't he? That's also grown up.
His office just gets really.
Oh,
like,
his dress changes.
Yes, he starts to dress a little more like a businessman
instead of weird, awesome patterned
shirts.
Oh
my god! Right,
the patterns in this movie are amazing.
Yeah, he until he bangs, he dresses like he should be hosting like a semi-educational public television show for children.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, welcome to Imagination Town. We're gonna learn about the sun. Whatever. But then. Sexual intercourse occurs. I'm sorry, Molly. And he becomes a successful capitalist in his gray fitted suits, his clean office, his...
That's true. His office completely
transforms. I need to know why that was the decision that they made. Like, why were... Okay, this movie... Here's the thing. The movie was like, I really liked it, right?
Yes.
But this is like... controversy
it's
worthy.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like, okay, if this movie were a
Lifetime movie?
Like,
please.
A woman who, like, was a child and then grew up and then dated a man.
Yes.
An adult man.
Yes.
Would that, I mean, that would have had, like, some, like, the movie would be, like, banned from everyone.
No. People who are considerate like us and all women... would find it troublesome. But the people in charge of the media in 1988 would probably just be like, yeah, Yeah, of course they bang.
It's an adult.
They're just an adult consensual relationship.
I think it'd be creepier.
It'd definitely be creepier.
Generals swapped would be creepier.
Yes. Because, you know, the patriarchy is alive and well. Men are just boys will be boys. Sow your wild oats. All that jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys think they... Are you both on the no bang camp? Or Beth, you believe it happened, but you're really upset about it?
I want to... I think... Like, they weren't really explicit about it. Right. Like, it was not clear.
Obviously.
Right? So, in my mind, they did not. Because that makes this movie okay with me.
Yeah, if you want to live in a fantasy land, that's fine.
But she does when she finds out, when she finally realizes that he is a 13-year-old boy at that time. Because he has his birthday.
Yes.
She does seem to have, like, a moment where she's like, oh my God.
What is that noise that comes out of her mouth? Like, when she asks, like, what are you, 15, 16? He's like, 30. She just kind of goes like,
But I think making out with a 13-year-old as a grown-up person would be super disturbing. I don't think you would have had to.
Because she says, in 10 years, maybe something will work.
Yeah, she's straight Coogan.
She's straight Coogs at the end of the movie. Says, look me up in 10 years.
Yeah, yes. When you're 23.
Maybe I should give you my number.
Yeah, hold on to my number, she said.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe she was half joking.
How old do you think she is?
27.
Really? 27. I thought she was way like older. I thought she was in her early 30s.
Like, I'd say early 30s, no.
So she'll be 40 straight something, Coogan. And he'll 23. Be 23.
Yep. Yeah.
All
right. Did you see what he looked like in those underoos? Come on.
Well, you guys, it's Tom Hanks.
Right.
Yeah.
I get it. Look, I firmly believe they banged. But I will agree, like, I wrote this down. When they first kissed, and then it went way farther than I anticipated, it reminded me of there's a moment in the James Cameron film Avatar, right?
Okay.
Bear with me. Where, Avatar guy, sure. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he is in his regular man body. Mm-hmm. He is dying because the weird magic fairy planet, like, you can't breathe if you're a regular human person, right? And his Avatar girlfriend, blue girlfriend, finds his human body. And they have banged as blue people.
Yeah.
This is later, this is at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert, the blue people have sex with each other. But now he's in his human body, and she finds him and saves him, and there's this, like, very tender embrace between them. You know, she's, because they're huge compared to the humans.
Right.
She's like embracing him, cuddling with him. And there's this moment between them that is supposed to come off as like, you know, beautiful romance, the leading man and woman of the movie. Like they found each other, they're in love. But I audibly in the theater went, ew, 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 ew. Because these are two disparate species having like this very real sexually charged moment between each other.
Sure.
And that is what this reminded me of. But they totally banged.
I just want to say I've never seen Avatar, and your description is amazing.
Let me concede this. I would agree that they maybe did not bang again.
I really don't think they did.
No.
But here's, okay, maybe this goes against your theory.
Okay.
Because it seems to me if a 13-year-old bangs for the first time, that would not just be like a one-time thing for a long time. Had they access to that, it seems like he would be more interested, you know?
But he was such a sweet, tender-hearted young man.
He didn't tell his friend. There wasn't a scene about
him. Right.
He wasn't talking to his friend about it.
Well, sure. He wasn't really talking to his friend at all at that point. Oh, because
that's when he turns into
corporate
adult.
America had subsumed him.
Yeah, and he starts.
Consumed him.
Yeah, this is a good. Let's talk about him and his friend, because that part is also amazing.
Yes.
We'll
and far less disturbing.
Yeah. After he, regardless of whether he banged or not, he definitely got to second base. That's shown. Okay.
In painful, slow details.
Very uncomfortable.
And then it's a pretty, that's a pretty fast transformation into, now he's more adult.
He's like trying to succeed at adulthood.
Yeah.
Before he was sort of just like stumbling through it.
Yeah. Now he's like, he's cares about the different, you know, they talk about work and cares about the different reports and marketing and shit like that. Like, he's doing adulthood. And his friend comes back with the report on where all the carnivals are.
We didn't even talk about that.
An insane report.
There's a department in New York where you can just get documentation of the locations of all the carnivals.
Yeah, but it takes 6 weeks.
Yes.
And so then Beth was like, oh. do you think everybody there just got bigged?
Yeah, because no, the next person in line, it's like, there's no, like, what do you need?
She just goes, like, sign and check. Yeah. And he was also, like, an older man who looked kind of awkward.
Yeah. But he kind of kicks his friend at the curb to a degree. Like, well, they go out for the birthday party. Is that, that's maybe it.
That's before.
That's right before.
Yeah.
Because he meets her after.
Right, because he has to leave his birthday to go on his bang date with Susie.
Yeah. So they go on the birthday party, which is amazing. Insane Italian restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Where there's like a cartoon character of an Italian man. It's like a fat white guy with a red bandana.
It's Chef Boyardee.
Throwing pizzas and then dancing and like getting people to throw dough balls in his mouth through a tambourine.
I kept calling him a pizza clown. He was a pizza clown.
Pizza clown.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, then they have the birthday party, and then it's like, well, the friend suggests that they get a bunch of beers
and dirty magazines.
Yeah. Because that kid is old beyond his years.
He's had a rough childhood.
His mom is probably an alcoholic, and he's got to manage all the finances and take care of his younger siblings. That's how I imagine his house is. Dad is long gone.
No, he took the money from his dad's drawer, though.
Oh, okay.
So dad's probably using, too. Maybe okay, not yeah. alcohol, probably cokehead. Huge cokehead. New Jersey, 1988, right?
Yeah, he's probably in the mob.
Oh, yeah.
But then, yeah, he ditches his friend, like, oh, I gotta go on this date with Susie. Mm. And his friend's, like, bummed.
Devastated.
That's, like, step one
of
friend to the side.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, eventually, pretty soon after that, the paperwork arrives. And he tries to take it in, and Tommy Hanks is like, essentially like, I don't have time for this. Yeah. Like, I can't do that. I've got a meeting.
I got a business meeting.
I got to propose these new iPad games, essentially.
Yeah.
And then his friend, oh God, best line of the movie, maybe, where they drop the F-bomb.
Oh, yeah.
That child actor nails it, just looks at him and goes, who the fuck do you think you are?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Took all of us by surprise.
It was.
Like, we all went, ooh.
It was powerful.
I had probably not reacted to the use of profanity that strongly in a very long time.
Yeah, it was one of the best F-bombs in cinematic history.
I agree. I agree. Call BuzzFeed.
Because it, F-bomb usage, top 12 F-bomb usage. But it just, I think it perfectly summed up, like, that conflict, right?
Totally.
Like, and it should have shocked him out of it, and it did a little bit, but like, you could see the anger from his friend, who's like, was so excited to get his best friend back, you know? But he's been sucked down by evil women.
Because there was that very, like, kind of heartbreaking moment where Billy is, like, tearing down his, like, I don't know, friendship board or whatever. Like, he's, like, filling a box of, like, the stuff that represented our lives together.
Yeah.
And then Josh's mom is whispering Josh's name through their walkie-talkie. And it is at first kind of terrifying, because, but then they like share this moment between their bedroom windows where like she is clearly just like, I mean, she is numb. She is numb to the idea that her son is never coming back. And he's no rat because he grew up in a mob family.
Yeah.
But also old and sympathetic beyond his
years. Yes, because he understands the pain that his mother's going through, because now he's starting to feel the beginnings of it too.
Yeah.
Because he's gone.
And that dude can keep a secret.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
even
when he's mad at his friend, he's
weeks.
Not,
that's true.
He ain't no rat.
That's right.
And the mom played by Mercedes Rule,
who we've seen
a few times in movies, including Twister.
She was in Twister?
Yeah. She played the new wife, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
And, forgive me if I've told this story before, because sometimes I repeat, but I'm pretty sure that Mercedes Rule was up for the role in Speed that Sandra Bullock got, but I could be wrong.
Oh.
I might be wrong.
I have not heard that story.
You know what? Never mind. Let's just skip that one.
All right.
I do have a theory, though, as we're talking, because the bad guy corporate sort of nemesis really has a lot of childlike behaviors.
Yes.
And
yes.
I recall screaming at the screen a couple of times, who's the kid? Who's the kid now?
Yeah. Molly was trying to, like, help this man through the TV.
Here's what occurred to me. What if that is the Bureau of people who got bigged, and there's just a lot of people who got bigged, including this guy?
Oh, my God.
And he's so much older. He's been bigged for so long that he...
But he was already turned.
He was already turned, and he stayed.
He's like what Tom Hanks would have turned into. Yeah. Oh, my God,
if his
Molly.
Had shocked him back into it.
Yeah. So wait, so you're saying... Oh! So, like, that's, like, the thesis of the movie is... Corporate Manhattan in the late 80s is just full of children pretending to be adult men. Penny Marshall.
I love it.
Good yes. job, Molly.
Yeah.
Wow.
You cracked the code. You cracked the code on big. Oh, so that means that the head of the toy company was like the first big. And that's why he's so, like, enamored by Josh, because he, like, he's trying to remember what his life used to be.
He's like, I remember you.
I used to be a fun man who could dance on a giant keyboard, but I've spent decades now, like, I'm psychologically 35, 40, but I'm now the head of this successful toy company.
You guys, theoretically, we've all been bigged.
Oh. Yeah. The themes of growing up are obviously real heavy in this movie.
Real. But, like, not irritating.
Not hit you over the head.
Yeah.
I was getting kind of emotional near the end of the movie during the sad montage, as Aww. Molly pointed out.
Yeah, she was like...
I don't like this as much as the previous montage. Yes. The one where he just played with toys.
Yes. Molly audibly stated that she did not like the montage specifically designed to make us feel bad.
Yeah. Where he's like, what is he doing? He's walking around this empty New York City. Like,
yeah, he's just missing all his friends.
He goes to his old neighborhood.
That's right.
Kids playing in the leaves. Kids playing ball. Yeah. Class. Presumably his own class. Taking the class picture. Yeah.
The girl that he likes is in the car. Driving around with the boy. The kid who maybe has his permit, maybe has his license.
Yeah. Probably not a good relationship for her.
No, definitely. Like, he could be saving her right now.
Yeah.
He could be saving her, like, years of, like, sort of, like, weird, like, a weird relationship that transitions out of high school. They think about getting married. Like, maybe they even do get married for a couple years, and then it just falls apart.
This
and
dude's just working at the gas station, but dating a high school
inside.
Student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Anyway, sad montage.
But I just think the montage was done really well, and Tom Hanks was acting really well, of showing, like, the realization of, like, oh, being a kid was good. I mean, that's the conclusion he reaches, right? Mm-hmm. At first he's like, being a kid sucks. And then he sees how it is to be an adult, and he's like, no, I should be, being a kid's actually good.
Yeah.
But it's not even like, I wish I was stuck a kid forever. It felt more like, no, I need to go live life in the proper order.
Mm-hmm. It was like, you know? Being a kid is good for, like, it's good while it lasts. Like, it's an experience that I should have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Choices, you guys.
Oh,
choices.
Like the video game.
Like the video game.
Melt the wizard.
Mm-hmm. With friendship.
What did he actually say? Like, throw thermal pod or something.
Yeah.
Which is really like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Video games in the 80s, they were just...
terrible. But yeah, I thought it was really touching. It made me kind of want to be a kid again. Oh. Now I think about how I just replaced my furnace. And all the home projects I have to do.
Yeah.
The mounting responsibility of adulthood.
Yeah. There were definitely moments in that in the movie where we're just sort of like, oh, like, well, like, I mean, at the end, like, he apparently grew up on, like, the most beautiful New Jersey residential street.
Yeah. I mean, he's a 1%er. Not as much as Home Alone.
No.
But for sure.
He could be like a 2%.
Yeah, 2%. Well, he's in a mob neighborhood. We just have to say that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, because the bad guy, corporate dude, was the dad in Home Alone.
Yes, he was.
Yep. Yeah. That's true.
So much meaner in this movie.
Really way meaner.
Yeah.
I wonder if he made a career of playing rich guys.
Ooh.
Could be.
Could be. 80s. Up. I mean, playing a white dude in the 80s. Right. What a choice,
Yeah, it's either rich guy or the schizophrenic that walked past the hotel at the beginning screaming, kill the bitch, kill the bitch, kill the bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was this movie for?
I think Dan has the right of it.
Yeah. Either for, like, 12-year-olds who want to be adults or adults who want to be kids.
Which means I saw this at the exact right age, and I don't have any memory of feeling nostalgic about either thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it made me feel nostalgic about being a kid at all, because I was still very focused on getting to be an adult.
Right. Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
You, the parts about being adult resonated with you.
Yeah.
Versus, like, if...
anybody can play in Leaps.
Like, me watching it now.
Yeah.
The parts about being a kid again resonated more with
me. Right.
Yep.
Whereas it's my first viewing as, like, a, I don't know, 17-year-old.
You're just like, me.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
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 Beth, you're the youngest at this table. How did you react emotionally to the movie Big?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what, like, when I was a kid, I thought it was so fun that he, like, had his own apartment and all that stuff. And then, yeah, this one I was like, oh, yeah. Remember when he just played outside in the leaves and, like, your problem was that you were had to clean up the dodgeballs after class? It's really interesting how that, like, perspective changed on that. Anywho.
Good job.
Way to go, Penny Marshall.
Hold on to what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Find your happiness, you guys.
And maybe if you can, if you have the ceiling space, put a trampoline in your apartment, because that's awesome.
That I would do. Right? I have often considered, at every stage of adulthood, getting a trampoline.
Yeah.
And actually, I almost got one. I finally had a yard a few years ago, and I really considered getting a trampoline. But I didn't because I was worried about neighborhood kids coming into my yard and getting hurt on the trampoline.
Right. It's like a nightmare.
Polar opposite thing that I thought. It's just like when I was a kid, I thought I was going to eat icing out of a tub. You know, you could buy those tubs of
icing.
For sure. Yeah. I assumed that would be morning, noon, and night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, that was adulthood in your head?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, that was the dream.
That's what do they do in this? They eat junk food. Same as Home Alone, eats ice cream. That's what kids want to do. They want to eat junk food.
Yeah.
And it turns out now that I even when I was 19, at the very moment I had the ability to do that, I had no interest in doing it.
Yeah,
it's just very unfair.
It's weird. You don't appreciate what you have.
Yeah, big time.
They did not bang. They didn't.
Okay.
Heavy petting.
I can't deny that. Yeah, there's no denying the heavy petting. Well,
almost
at least
makes it worse.
Maybe not heavy petting. Okay, based on his like gesture is more to sort of like
Best bet is light over the bra petting.
Yeah. For hours. That's why she asked, what are we doing here? What is this?
Yeah.
What is this relationship?
Why didn't we bang?
Oh my god, I cannot tell you that how much joy I'm feeling that we got to bring back the segment. Did they bang?
Did they bang?
I didn't think it would happen.
Yeah.
If you're ever at a fair and you see a ghost and a robot, Zoltar.
Yes.
I guess you know. I'm sorry. We should go around and say.
Oh, yeah. How many bug buildings?
Oh, and the Bechdel test.
We forgot about that. Did it?
It did not pass.
No, at all. Right?
There were some named characters.
There were definitely named females.
Yes.
I don't think they ever talked to each other.
Not even.
No.
Even a man-dominated conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think any females talked to each other at all.
No.
Yep. That's because anytime. Well, yeah, because there's only ever one woman in a scene, no matter what.
Yeah. Right. She's the female lead's the only one in the boardroom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else is secretaries, and all those conversations are one-on-one.
Those boardroom scenes are insane as well.
Oh, my God. The one lines that all the other guys got to be the boardroom. Like, they could... When Tom Hanks is like, we could turn the Transformer robots into bugs, one guy just goes, Ladybug!
we could sell these comic books at comic book stores.
Yeah. Just great.
You should fire everybody in there.
But Beth, I think you rightly pointed out that is exactly how...
Yeah.
Boardrooms, in fact, operate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a good idea. I'm going to say it out loud. Yeah, you have a good idea. Business.
Yep.
Where's my money?
Yeah.
Give me that Coke. Let's play the stock market. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I basically said how I felt about this movie, which was great, and I was very charmed by it. I said I would give it 4. I think I'm going 5.
Yeah.
This movie is fantastic.
What was the unit we're using? Bug buildings?
Bug buildings. Which wasn't really in the movie. There was a building that was going to be a bug instead.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
I think it was more just like me enjoying language. Molly explained it accurately in the first half.
The idea of a building being a bug instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I give it 5 of those.
Okay.
Beth, counterclockwise around the board.
I'd give it 5. Mm-hmm. I like we said earlier, like I enjoyed it in a different way than I remember liking it the first time, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dan, you're going to give it 3.
I said I would give it 3. I am bumping that up to 5 bug buildings.
Whoa.
1 giant keyboard.
Whoa.
1 loft trampoline. 1... One
licensed
no. Disgusting. I was gonna say 1 licensed Pepsi vending machine in my home.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah,
I love this movie.
Yeah, and I was trying to be grumpy about Tom Hanks in part just to be a contrarian and to have a counterpoint.
Yes.
But he is so charming.
Yes. A direct quote from Molly Chase during watching the movie was, "Call me Tom Hanks from 1988.
He was great. And I can't believe I had completely forgot about the baby corn scene. Oh, so, absolutely
Google
classic
that.
Moment. Yeah. He's just the best. And I was trying to picture if they had cast anybody else in this film, it would not be nearly.
No.
Jim Carrey. It would be just a totally...
Jim Carrey? Who's casting Jim Carrey in the lead in 1988?
Well...
He was in the big remake in 96.
No.
That's not a real thing.
No, it doesn't exist. Oh, but if they did remake it.
Chris Pratt would be in it if they remade
it
this year.
Oh, he'd be adorable, too.
Because he's in every movie. But he also would be
He'd be
pretty
so
decent.
Cute in it.
Yeah, but they
actually,
might...
I'd be okay with that. Yeah.
I feel like he would go to...
Be too goofy.
He'd be too much of a kid, almost. You know what I mean? Although he's shown some chops. Nah, he'd be fine. I guess he's shown some chops in the last couple of years. Like when he rode that motorcycle with the Raptors.
Oh,
the Jurassic World
trailer? That's your acting moment?
Yeah. I believe that he believed that's what was happening around him.
Well, anyway, I give this 5 bug buildings plus lots of baby corn and lots of spitting out of caviar.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
That was an incredible Tom Hanks as a kid moment.
So great. Guys, I'm going to go watch this movie again.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't believe
just
it took me
that.
So long to see it.
Get the second base scene.
Oh, I am skipping that. And in hindsight, I take back what I said. This is on TV all the time. I'm sure it is.
Probably.
But not that bra scene.
I'm 100%. What? 100% sure that part is not on TV.
No way. Ugh. It's too racy.
It's pretty racy.
Too racy for USA Network's at 2
p.m. It actually did feel a little out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I thought.
Yes. Yeah.
The movie's pretty innocent beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad it was in there.
Me too.
Thank you for listening to Totes Recall. New episodes drop on the 15th of every month. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Totes Recall Pod. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. It helps more people find the show. Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan Jaquette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. For more information, check out noisepicnic.com/totesrecall.